Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, top of the hour, we'll get to the 8-8. We'll circle back to the Astros. They lose last night 6-1. Here was C.J. Stroud yesterday. Funny story on how he found out about the acquisition of Stephon Diggs.
I found out I was actually asleep. I've been in the West Coast. I've been back home in L.A., so I was knocked out, and I keep my phone on do not disturb. I get a lot of phone calls, and so I didn't really know. And I woke up, and my boy Chase B texted me, and he's like, "How you feeling, bro?" And I was like, "I'm good, fam. How are you?" And so like, and then I had sent like five texts like that, and then I woke up for real. This time, I was kind of like halfway texting in the bed. Woke up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know. And then I seen the news, and I seen it on like Instagram. I'm like, oh shoot, that's what they talking about. I didn't even tell Chase B or anybody like that. That was what I was implying, which is really just checking. I thought he was checking up on me, but it was cool. You know, it was really fun to see that. And this past, this last year I didn't have the opportunity to go before OTAs and have guys come out. I'll probably do something again. Hopefully after OTAs, but that was just like, hey man, I'm up here throwing, like, you guys want to come down? And man, it went great though. Like Mitch really like looks amazing. He looks really, really all the way back, you know. And then Tank looks great, and so did Diggs and a couple other guys who came out.
Okay, so he volunteers there at the end. It's a funny story. He volunteers there at the end, unprompted. Mitch looks really good. You know, Mitch, it's a question about Diggs.
And to explain, though, too, they were asking about whether that little throwing session at UCLA, whether that was like what he did last year where he had a bunch of guys out together for a few days to work out. And they said, no, that was just a lot more casual, what happened last week in UCLA.
Yep. He pulls that together. And it was Mechie. It was Diggs. It was Tank Dell. And it was Sketch, the streamer, all out there getting ready for the season.
I like to think that it was that maybe Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs happened to be in California anyway, but John Mechie was like just waiting by the phone, and he does not keep his on do not disturb.
Right.
And it was like he sees what's going on.
Yeah.
He sees that there's a big three now right now, and CJ just called up and was like, hey, I don't know if you happen to be in California, but we're throwing.
Yeah.
And Mechie was like as far away as possible within the, he was in Miami or something. He was like, oh yeah, I'm right down the street.
I'll be there.
And he just went and hopped on the first Southwest flight he could get out to
I'm
LA.
Right down the street. I'll be there in 8 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So CJ mentions Mechie right there. Like, it's a question about Diggs. He mentioned Tank also, but he mentioned Mechie. Here was CJ when he was asked about, hey, how's Tank Dell looking?
He looks great. Yeah, you know, he's like you said, man, he's gotten a lot better. Mentally, you know, I think even for both of us, really all the rookies, you know, coming into year two, you know, everything's starting to slow down and the wheels aren't turning so much up in your head. You know, you're starting to play ball, and you know, having being able to throw with them in LA was really big. And you know, Mitch looks amazing as well, and some of the guys that came out as well. So you know, it's been amazing to get some work in.
Another Mechie mentioned. The question's not about Mechie, so the media in the room, sensing that, said, these are two straight questions where he's mentioned John Mechie. Hadn't thought about asking C.J. Stroud about John Mechie. What would the impact be for a healthy John Mechie for this team?
Man, he has a ton of value, a huge impact I think that he'll bring this season. I think last year was good to get his feet back in the water, you know, coming off of an injury, then something so traumatic, like being sick, how he was. And man, his mindset is just, you know, he's ready to come back and ball. So, not only is he a great football player, but he's a great person, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else other than those guys in that room. So, Mitch is looking amazing. Everything that he'll put on this field will be no surprise. But you know, I think everybody in his room knows how special he can be, and he'll put that on the field.
Yeah, his former second round pick. I mean, he was drafted there for a reason. Again, Seth, we got the draft coming up. A week from Thursday it starts. The Texans will, in all likelihood, be picking a week from Friday to begin their draft. And, you know, I've said all along that if they use one of those two second-round picks on a receiver, it is a bit of a referendum on where they are with John Mechie right now.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's where
to some degree.
I think that unless, you know, sometimes you don't want to read too much into it, because sometimes it might just be that, hey, this isn't a position of need, but my God, the three receivers that are remaining on our board are above all the offensive linemen, and they're right here right now. Like, we got to take one of these guys. So, but I think that John Mechie and Kenyon Green are probably both in a little bit of the same category, which is that the team hasn't written them off yet, but they can't bank on them moving forward. So, you know, clearly if they're going to bank on John Mechie, they wouldn't have bothered going out to get Stephon Diggs, I don't think. Like, that would be if they had an extremely positive appraisal of him.
Yeah.
But I think they probably, though, are also both realistically in that category of, we can't rule them out. We just don't know. Mechie had, he was coming off an ACL, and then he had cancer. Those are kind of a couple of big whammies 2 years in a row.
When you say it like that, it's like, holy crap. Like, yeah. He did. Like, now I feel bad about every critique I had of John Mechie last year. Like,
well, you know, and you always wonder, too, I think that aside from coming back from cancer, like, it's not as simple. I think sometimes because some guys have come back very quickly, you got to remember that everybody's cancer treatment is very individual to them. Even if they get the exact same protocol, like, different people are going to respond to it differently, and some people take a long time to respond to it or to recover from it, you know, even after they've recovered from the cancer. Not everybody gets back to be the same physically, so you just don't know until you get a couple years out from it. The other side of it, though, too, Sean, is I'm like, even pre-cancer diagnosis, you just wonder, all right, well, like, how long was it affecting him before the actual diagnosis? Remember, David Quisenberry was not looking or feeling so good in that spring training OTAs before he ended up getting diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
He was feeling the effects of it before it was diagnosed. So I think Mechie is a wide open book, and there might be huge upside there given that he was dealing with those two major medical issues.
Yeah. Texter points out Mechie's best game was in the playoffs, 3 catches for 44 yards on timely plays. Yeah, he made a few plays in the playoff game. Man, I'm rooting for John Mechie. I would like nothing more than for a second round pick to work out here with Mechie, but even more than that, he seems like a great dude. I'm rooting for him. He's, you know, we root for the Texans. We root for good things. Injury updates from D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Speaking of Kenyon Green, D'Amico Ryans asked about Tytus Howard and Kenyon Green. Here's the latest.
You have guys who've missed time. You talk about Tytus, you talk about Kenyon. Those are two guys we feel really good about up front for us. You know, we talk about our line being a strong suit for our team, and getting those guys back healthy will only add to our group, only add to what we're able to do up front. So I'm excited to see Tytus back healthy. Excited to see Kenyon, right, competing, healthy, and to give himself the best shot to go out and show what he's capable of. So I don't think he's had that opportunity fully, so I'm excited to see Kenyon perform. He's been working out. He's been consistent every day. He's been putting the work in throughout the offseason, so excited for him.
I can't wait to see Kenyon Green just at OTAs and stuff like that. Just see what he, you know, just see what he looks like. You know, see if he's
like physically what his composition is after having an entire. I mean, it was almost as if last year they put him on IR to go work out. You know,
like a redshirt year.
I would say rehab, except that he was rehabbing from so many injuries. I mean, it was a constant litany from the very time the Texans drafted him, where he was already recovering from a knee injury, until he got a concussion in training camp. Then he hurt his shoulder during the season. He got off to a pretty good start by rookie standards. I thought he was doing just fine. And then he got injured in that that L.A. game, and it was just all downhill from there. And he never looked nearly as promising as he did really, like, in Chicago. The Chicago game his rookie year, I thought that he actually looked like, okay, this kid might end up being a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all went south after that. So I think that it's really just a matter of, is he physically resilient enough? I mean, like, part of being a guard is being a dude that's tough as hell and doesn't get injured. You're always there. You're solid. You're steady. You're consistent. If you look at, like, steady and dependable deep offensive lineman, Chester Pitts was the ultimate in this, that he was built like a tree, like every one of his limbs was built like a tree trunk, in that it was like a huge circumference without a whole bunch of definition, but like impossible to break.
Yeah.
He looked unbreakable in a lot. He just looked solid, and that's what he ended up being. Kenyon Green's the opposite so far. I can't have a glass guard. It's not something that works out. So whatever his anatomical chain of issues was that was causing him to get injured all the time, I don't know how you fix that, but hopefully it's fixed.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
What's the first thing this offseason where we as media members get to see it and we come away with, okay, this is who's running with the ones? You know what I mean? Like, is it mandatory minicamp? Do they do some walkthrough type stuff?
No, I've learned that you can't even use the first week of training camp for that because they'll roll guys in and out and everything.
Gotcha.
I don't know. People report who's rolling with the ones, and it gets a lot of press, and then it turns out like, oh yeah, the guy we thought the starter wasn't actually even out there.
No, you're right.
You know, there's 100 guys on the field, so you're trying to keep track of everything.
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture what it's going to look like at left guard, because you know, we know 78's going to be left tackle. We know that. You know, we know 69's going to be right guard. We know, I would assume Titus Howard, if he's healthy and he's ready to go from his injury, he's going to be the right tackle. I wonder. When that first set of ones, what we perceive to be ones, goes out there, where he's number 76 now, Kenyon Green. He changed numbers from 59.
It's the number, whoever goes out there the first time, it hardly ever really means anything. It's whether they stay out there and they're the only guys out there.
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed if they just pencil Kenyon Green as a starter. If they're not rotating guys there or something, I just won't understand it. I won't see exactly, okay, I don't know. What have I seen from him that I haven't seen from Kendrick Green from Patterson or what have you? It's going to be an open competition.
Yeah, you just answered my question. I was going to say, well, who are the other names? It's Kenyon Green. It's Kendrick Green. That won't be confusing at all.
Jarrett Patterson.
And Jarrett Patterson, who played center last year, but is, you know, played a lot of guard in college. And
Nick Broeker is there too, the guy that they had picked up from Buffalo off of waivers.
Yep, he was on the roster.
Story at the time, Broeker, I thought we would have seen Broeker at some point last year. Broeker was picked up off of waivers from Buffalo. At the time, the story was that Buffalo really liked him and maybe thought that they could have snuck him through on waivers and signed him to the practice squad. We didn't really get a chance to see exactly whether there was basis for that or not.
Yeah. It's harder to sneak guys through on waivers now with Nick Caserio lurking. That dude was addicted to the waiver wire last year.
Yeah.
Picking guys up. Yeah.
He's like sitting in a trench coat waiting by the waiver wire line.
That's it.
You got smokes?
Yeah. Here's D'Amico Ryans as we're updating on injuries. Here's the update from D'Amico on Tank Dell.
With Tank, man, Tank is back. He's starting to get in with our guys here at the offseason program. So excited to have Tank back. You know, that was a devastating loss for us last year, losing him. He's such a dynamic player for us, such an inspiration for myself, for a lot of our team. So I'm excited to see Tank back working with our guys and excited to see him make that same jump that I talked about year one and year two.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole. That was a devastating loss. There were other losses the Texans had. No team lost more games to player injury this year than the Houston Texans. You know, just based surely on the number of games lost from guys, the Texans were the most injured team in football. That was, other than losing CJ for a couple games with a concussion, and even in those two games, they went 1-1. Losing Tank Dell, man, like, devastating to me doesn't begin to describe losing Tank Dell and what he meant to that offense.
Did you say they officially were the number one team?
In terms of number of games lost due to injury, yeah, they were number one by far.
Poor beleaguered Texans.
Yeah, by far. It wasn't even close.
I don't know if you can count Kenyon Green in that, though, too. I've got a little bit of it. Some of the offensive line stuff. Now, you know what, though? No, I'll take everything they say about the offensive line because they were starting off the season with four backup offensive linemen.
Yeah.
It was one of the more, I think, underreported aspects of CJ's rise was that the offensive line was completely battered, really for the entire season, but especially for the first half of the season where they were playing, in the first part of the season where they were playing with four backup offensive linemen. And that also he was doing it without the support of a rushing attack in the first half of the season, too. Mm-hmm. It really, I think, because people weren't actually watching the Texans all that much at that point, it was more of a nice story about C.J. Stroud without really considering all of the other constraints that he had, aside from just being a rookie on a previously bad team.
Yeah, it's funny because C.J. cites the Pittsburgh game in week four as the game where that was the game where he really started to feel like, okay, I'm an NFL quarterback. I'm getting this. And I would say too, as somebody observing, that for me is also the game where I'm like, all right, this dude, he's the real deal. Like the way he closed that game out. And to your point, Seth, the starting offensive line in that game was Austin Deculus, Kendrick Green, Jarrett Patterson, Shaq Mason, and George Fant.
Ew.
And they won 30-6, you know, and that was against a team that has T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith as its defensive ends.
Yeah,
you know,
and Laremy Tunsil didn't come back until, you know, he was injured in the Baltimore game. Didn't come back until week five versus Atlanta,
yep.
And that was also when, you know, the run game started to stabilize somewhat a few games after that, but it was also when Dalton Schultz started getting a lot more action after Laremy Tunsil. The left tackle didn't need help from a tight end chip block. Dalton Schultz could just actually get out on routes a lot more once Laremy Tunsil came back.
Yep.
And George Fant started playing a lot better, too.
He did. He got
George Fant was a big, which is another area of this team that, the importance of the swing tackle, you can't underestimate or understate like how important it was that George Fant was as good as he was last year.
It was huge. It was huge.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.